We're going to talk about children. We're going to talk about singing. How do you feel about that?
Yeah.
We're going to explain kind of why we do it, what it's about, what the Bible has to say about it, about those things. And hopefully we'll sort it all out. We'll figure it all out today. That'd be really cool. And then we don't have to talk about it again. Well, we might. Might still want to. So kind of that. That's what's going on. And we're going to hear a little bit from Beth, who's going to exhort our children. Is that true, hon?
Absolutely.
So look for exhortation from Beth at some point. I might call upon one of you at random, too. So be nervous. All right. Let's pray. Let's take a look at Scripture. Let's bring the drama team up. They have a treat for us today. Or something. If you're really good, I'll give you it. All right. I've got bacon. So that's the deal. All right, children. That'll be enough of that. We're going to talk about you, and boy, are you're just in for a real exhorting. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of meeting together as your people and getting to know each other better and getting to know you better. Lord, help us to carry your message to the world in the unique way that you've called us to do so, individually and as your church. Lord, we thank you so much for that privilege. We love you and we're grateful for it. And we just ask that we would hear from you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. I got a couple passages of Scripture. Interestingly enough, they're about children and music. Okay, so let's look at that. This one's not about children, although I know there's some parents.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's funny. Okay, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Next passage is about children. About that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child to him and put the child among them. Then he said, "I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become like little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven. So anyone who becomes as humble as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." There's more. There might be more. Okay. "And anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. But if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me to fall into sin, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea."
Is there more?
Yeah, that'll do. This same stuff that you heard last week, that's good. Maybe you'll remember it. And that's also good. So a church should be about... Oh yeah, I should tell you what we're doing. We're doing a series on why we do what we do. So that will kind of help you know what's going on. We are doing a series, why do we do these things? And it kind of embraces not only why does the church do these things, a lot of churches do, but why do we do some of the specific things that we do? Because I think it's good to take a look at what you do and not just do it because everybody does it or you've done it for 19 years. It's good to take a look at that. We'll tell you why it's good to take a look in a bit. The church should be a place for people to find acceptance, encouragement, and love. It should be a place for people to discover truth and wisdom that strengthens and changes lives. A church should be a place where appearances aren't important, where there's no elite class, where there's no manipulation and no gossip. A church should be a place where there's plenty of opportunity, where freedom and forgiveness abound. And as I said last week, the church is not a building, it's people, and it's a container. We are a container of the good news. And everything that we do is just a container of the good news. The good news is, of course, that there is life, hope, meaning, and purpose in Jesus Christ. The good news is that you can be right with God. He can heal and change you, whatever it is, whatever sin ails you, he can change that. And he does it by his own spirit. And that's good news. And we, the church, are the ones who are charged with carrying it to others. We are the vessel. We are the container of that good news. The church is the container. Everything that we do is just a container. And you know what? You should change a container from time to time. Because containers have a tendency to rust or corrode and mildew, and they begin to flavor and taint and even corrupt the contents. It happens. Because the container isn't the issue. It's the contents that are important. We get focused on the container. How do we make a better container? How do we look at the container? We forget about the contents. In fact, sometimes we get rid of the contents, or the contents are so corrupted that they're not drinkable anymore. They're not consumable anymore. They're not what they were meant to be. Now, I'm going to pick on a website, and I'm going to be very specific about it. Any of you have ever read from or seen Patheos website? It is a self-proclaimed progressive Christian website. Now, if you're in there to kind of research and find out what progressive Christians are thinking, and not everything that they say is dead wrong. However,
98%.
No, 90%.
I'll say about 80%.
Okay, so that you've read it. I read this blog where the author talked about what he found to be good news. And he went on, stated that he didn't find the idea of Jesus dying for our sins compelling. In fact, he says he doesn't like the idea of sin and judgment. He didn't find that compelling. He didn't like the idea of heaven or hell. That wasn't compelling. As Beth remarked, he denied the good news of God as given by God because he wasn't feeling it. I'm not feeling it. Now, to be fair, sometimes I don't feel it either. Okay? Sometimes I look and I think about God's judgment and God's holiness, and I'm reading through the book of Leviticus, and I'm not always feeling it. I mean, I dig the part about leprosy.
And mildew.
That mildew and leprosy. Leprosy in our house is pretty cool. Or any leather goods, or, you know, that's really cool. I dig that. But some of it is kind of like, that's just bloody and icky. I mean, I like the idea of making yourself a roast. But a little spices wouldn't kill you. And I don't find that, I'm not feeling that either. But that doesn't mean I reject it. It's true of me for sure that I sometimes don't feel it. It's okay if you don't feel it. That doesn't mean that you reject it. Because when you change the message of the good news, because you want to make it more compelling, you've tainted it. You've rejected God, His way, His truth, His life, and you've polluted the contents. And you've probably made your focus on the container. How can I sell this? Well, I think it's great that we take a look at how we do things to not get in the way of the good news. The good news sells itself, folks. All right. And each generation, really, it's a new container. When you think about it, every generation of the church is a new container. It's like your skin that dies off every 7 years. You get a new container. Is it 7 years? And my mind's long since died off. But it's still hanging on, though, sadly. And, you know, don't get confused. Every generation is a new container. We need that, and they need to own it. They just need to not change the gospel. They can change the container. You can change the way we do church. The scripture says very, very little about how we actually do church. It says a couple of things. We'll talk about those. So, you know, just another example is I make it a point to call this place that we meet in the building. And it's pretty descriptive, right? It is what it is. People say, are you going to the church? I'm going to the building. I mean, I make it awkward for them. When you go into church, well, I'm going to church. When people are here, yeah, this is the church. But this is the building. It's a nice building. I like this building. I'm grateful for it. It's only, you know, God is only present here when there's two or three of us that meet here in His name. So maybe when Grant and I are here on weekdays. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the contents. Let's talk about the message, and let's talk about the container a little bit. I want to talk about singing. Why do we sing? Singing together seems a little weird to me. You know, like, is this a musical? You burst out into song? What's up with that? It just seems a little awkward. But it's funny as how human beings, we always find a way to do that. We find a way to sing together. We can't go long without finding a way to sing in public or listen to people singing in public. What's with karaoke? I remember, I think it was the 90s, right, when karaoke started kind of invading over here. And I thought, what? Because in churches, they've been doing that all along. Right? And you put on the tape track, and you sing it in Christ. No, it wasn't that. It was God and God alone. Steve Green for you, fans out there. But karaoke caught on, and now people do it all the time. Singing is a way of celebrating together. Singing together is a way of celebrating. We do it when we celebrate. It's a way to remember together. It's a way, can even be a way of grieving together, and it unites us. It unites us. But singing worship songs is even more than that. Okay, look at the Psalms. If you open your Bible roughly to the middle, a little bit to the left of the middle, there's this book of Psalms, and it's huge. It's 150 chapters long. It's the biggest book in the Bible, chapter-wise. And if you think about the Psalms, they're prayers, really. But they're prayers that are sung together. The nation of Israel would sing these prayers together, and many of them had specific times when they were used, whether it was a time of national grieving, or a time of remembering, or a time of celebration, or a time to show gratitude and even amazement at the goodness of God. And so many of them, surprising amount, are grieving and mourning. The Psalms. Where are you, God? I need you. I'm hurt. My enemies are triumphing over me. I can you intervene? Some of them are just plain celebration. Do you realize that when we sing together here at City's Edge, we are praying. Yenna, you're praying out loud. And she's okay with that. See how that unites us? It's awesome. Let's look again at that passage in Ephesians 5, and I'll just kind of go through that a little bit. Ephesians 5, do we have, yeah. Don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Why did I take this whole context in here? You know, it says with that idea, instead of being drunk with wine, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And part of being filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you sing songs. It's part of being filled with the Holy Spirit. He says to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. You know, you can ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The whole idea is that you're asking God to control your life, not external circumstances, not something else, not your own worries. To ask God to control your life, that's a pretty cool thing. And it says, sing to each other, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves. Commentators have tried to parse this out into three different categories, right? So you've got psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and they say, well, the psalms are like, you know, the psalms. And hymns are songs about the greatness or the goodness of God. They're always four verses. The third one you usually skip, right? I think that's normal. And they have a lot of these and thous. And they're played like a dirge. Wait, that's not necessarily true. And spiritual songs are just songs of devotion and praise to God. Well, maybe that's how it parses out. But I think really Paul is just telling us if it's about God and it's true, sing it. We actually do all three here at City's Edge. Have you noticed that? A lot of the songs that we sing are taken right from the Psalms, even if they're not named like Psalm 5 and Psalm 9 and Psalm 61, which are obviously taken right from the Psalms. This is how stupid I am. Yesterday I'm looking, hey, we sing some of the Psalms. I wonder which Psalm 61 is taken from. Then it hit me. Okay. But you know, your love, O Lord, taken directly from Psalm 36. Word for word in places. With every breath, Psalm 148. Taken from that. The songs that we sang today. Enough would be considered a spiritual song. It's about Jesus. It's just saying, you're enough. You're all that I need. And quite a few songs of devotion that we sing. And we're not afraid to mangle a few hymns. You know? So even like In Christ Alone is a hymn, really. Four verses. Another point of this passage that I like is the whole community thing. Sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to each other, among each other, among yourselves. It says that. You know, it's not the same thing as singing along to old Keith Green or Randy Stonehill or Larry Norman tapes in the car or at home. And by the way, you guys, you know what? They have that on CD and other media now. That's why you should know. We are encouraging each other when we sing together. We're reminding each other of the eternal truth of God. We're taking ourselves out of the mundane, the things that hold us to this earth, that weigh us down, and we're reminding each other of truths that people have been singing for thousands of years. We're getting a glimpse of a holy, eternal, loving God, and we're reminding each other about it. That's important. It's kind of a big deal. Yes, we're singing them to God, but in this passage it says that each other is also an intended recipient. We remind each other of the goodness and the greatness of God. So get the progression of this passage. Be filled, not drunk with wine, not a good results. Give the Holy Spirit control of your life. Can you get high on Jesus? Well, yeah. Anybody ever been high on Jesus? I know you have, Steve. And to be honest, so have I. Kind of a weird thing. Hit me out of the blue. Nothing I'd ever experienced before. And I would take that all the time if I could get it, but I haven't figured out the formula yet. So maybe there's not a formula. Let the Holy Spirit take control of your life. It doesn't always make you high, but there's never any regrets, and there's no hangover. And then just sing songs to each other, songs about the faith, about the love of Jesus, the greatness of God. Oh yeah, it says you can pull out those Keith Green tapes too. It says that. It says, make music to the Lord in your hearts. And even if you don't sing along, it says to do that. So that's good too. And be thankful all the time. Something about being thankful, first of all, it's a commandment. So you're supposed to do it. And secondly, it changes you when you're thankful. Do you know that it changes your perspective? It changes your mood? It can change your entire day just to be thankful. Because it's easy for me, because I'm a critical kind of person. Well, I'm not hearing any disagreement. Okay, so I can be a critical person. Shut up, Robbie. Robbie has known me since the 80s. And he knows that this is true. But when I stop focusing on the things that are wrong with this world, and there are plenty, and start thanking God for the goodness and for this church and for you people and for my family, and just that God loves me, and all of those things, it changes my mood. It changes my perspective completely. Pretty cool. Where am I? And submit to one another. Kind of like another thing. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know what? Could it be that we are to take the low place? I think so. I think that's what he's saying. I think that's what it means to submit to one another. It says to willingly take the low place. It doesn't say to be a doormat. It doesn't say to let people trample all over you. It says to willingly take the low place. You know, go last in the food line, except when they're... you really want something for yourself and you're afraid someone else might get it before you, then don't do that. No, honestly, take the low place. I have done this. I didn't like it. No, I'm serious. I didn't like it. I've had the opportunity occasionally to take the low place. You know what one of the hardest places for me to take the low place is? Music. Because I have opinions. God has given me a certain amount of skills. And to kind of step back and take the low place is not fun. And now there's a couple of places where I purposely choose to do that. Beth thinks I'm crazy. And it hurts. And I get done and I go, boy, I hated that. Are you going to do it again? Yeah, probably. Because Jesus commands it. And I need to learn it. And that's a part of me that isn't in complete submission to Christ. And it needs to be. I need to just shut up and let somebody else who's not as worthy as me. Oh, you think I'm joking. take the lead. Hey, could it be that worshiping together is a way to submit to each other? What do I mean by that? You know what? You show people that you care about them, that they're more important than your busy life, simply by being here and worshiping and singing songs to them about God. That's submission. And he says, you know, well, why would we want to do that? Well, out of reverence for Christ, out of respect for Christ, kind of a big deal. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, it's kind of a huge deal. Jesus is in effect saying, do this for me. Worship together. Don't miss it. Because you take me seriously. And my dear friends, that is why we worship together. Okay. Anybody feeling convicted? Good. Let's talk about children. Now you'll really feel convicted. You parents may feel the urge to cry out amen at some point in this. I just want you to feel free to do that. Here we go. Little children aren't good for much. Come on, let's be honest. They can be cute, for sure, but they are messy and loud and annoying. Yeah. They usually have almost no social graces. They can really wear you out. Amen. Yeah. Some of them, only a parent can love. Maybe a grandparent. But Jesus says, they're greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Strange. What's that about? These are exactly the kind of human beings that we are called to love. The messy, the annoying, the ones who have almost no social graces, the ones who can wear you out. So, see, Jesus is not just talking about children here, is he? Now, he's definitely talking about children. He has one right here. And he brings them right into the middle of the disciples, right in the middle of the debate. What's this child doing here? We're all like this. You're like this. Oh, come on now. You are not as wise. You are not as sophisticated and witty and charming. We are not the kind of people we like to think we are. You know, you ever think about that from God's perspective? It's like, oh, there goes Dan again, trying to be wise, witty, and sophisticated. Here's God, and here's Dan like a child. And I don't even know. I don't even have that perspective. We are to love kids because they're like us. They're little micro-Dans. We're all annoying, messy, lacking in grace. We're exasperating, really. If you look at the nation of Israel, God's children, they're exasperating to God. And he doesn't give up on them. Surely he sets boundaries. Surely he has consequences. But he loves them. Oh, so it's a little honest humility that is needed. And he says, anyone who welcomes a little child like this on my behalf is welcoming me. Wow. Wow. We kind of need to do that. That whole millstone bit should help us remember, too, that we want to be careful to look out for their spiritual well-being. And that's what we're about at City's Edge. We are here to care for the spiritual well-being of these kids. The reality is that they are... Are you ready, hon? Okay, she's not quite ready. She's got a thing to do, and then she's going to come up here. I'll wait, and when I see her, I'll get her back up here. I'll get her up here. Where was I? Yeah. What we're aiming for at City's Edge is a place that is welcoming to children. Come on up, hon. What we are aiming for is a place where they want to be. A place that they, we want this them to know that this church and any church is as much for and about them as it is for the rest of us. It's their church. They belong. They are important. They are loved. That's what we're trying to communicate with them. I remember when I was a kid, I went in the late 60s and early 70s to Eagle Fern Youth Camp. Anybody been to Eagle Fern Youth Camp? And I was, oh, you too? Okay, there's like four of us. I know Katie and Zach and Ben. Eagle Fern Youth Camp's a great place. Box hockey, huh? Did you play box hockey?
No, we didn't have
box hockey. It's awesome. Swimming with the eels in the creek. That's a lot of fun. Mini bikes. Well, that was the 70s. Jolly Rancher candies, 2 for a penny. Probably a little more expensive by the time you were there. Singing cool songs like He's Everything to Me or Is There Something Missing? Come on, volunteers? Who's going to sing it? Yeah, you got it. You remember that one. And, the countdown song. Sing it.
10 and 9, 8 and 7, 6 and 5 and 4.
Call upon the Savior while you make it. Okay, anybody? I'm old. All right. Learning Bible verses by the dozens. Making Charlie Brown bookends that my brother stole from me and still has. Camp was from us, the kids, the adults that actually cared. Took the time to listen and play with us. Once a year, for 5.5 days, we were important. And we want to make learning about Christ happen in an environment, in a container, where kids are loved, where they know that we care about them, that this isn't just about us. And Beth wants to talk about what we're teaching these little monsters.
They're little monsters.
And let's hope that what we hope them to absorb. Why don't you take it? I do have your slides. So you do three slides. Yeah.
Wow, there you go. So, can you hear me?
Okay? Oh, I don't even have my mic on. Where? What am I thinking?
Yeah. I'll put the mic on. Okay.
Oh, I got this one.
Okay. You know what this one?
I don't care.
I want this one because right. I know how it works. You gotta be quick. Time's running out.
Time's running out.
I'm struggling. Okay, is that going to do things?
Is it on?
Probably not.
Yes, it is.
All right.
This is L2. It's not working.
L2 is not working. Is this not working?
Do you want this one?
Let's just talk.
Okay, so I'm talking.
Oh, you have tiny ears.
One thing that is an advantage to being a small church is that we work together to raise each other's children.
Isn't that true? Woo! That's exciting. Here, walk with me, hon. On a Sunday morning, it is, whoa, you know what's up?
She's the only person I've ever done that.
I would hope. Okay, regaining composure here. You know, there's something really unusual right now in the room. And that is Zach is actually holding his own child. And if you're a part of City's Edge, I saw Dawn holding her a while ago. And one of the beauties of a small church is that we really do raise each other's children. You know, I see...
So you can blame us.
Yeah. But I saw Annette's kids this morning sitting with Stacy. And that's one thing. We really like that here, don't we? You know, we've raised kids from the ground up. And it was like that for us. They very seldom sat with us. And so when they were babies, they were being passed around. And that is beautiful. And you really don't see that as much in a bigger church. That's something precious that we have here. So as our kids are getting older too, I think what is valuable is that we can encourage them to participate and to worship with us. So I just went back and hung out with the Ramblers for a little while. And we made these really cool little pictures. And what we're teaching them, I will tell you, because if they're sitting with you, encourage them to do this.
Formatting.
When the band is playing,
go back to
we're encouraging the kids to watch with their eyes, listen with their ears, and sing with their mouth. Isn't that cute? Watch with your eyes, listen with your ears, sing with your mouth. So as I sit back there, like when Sandra will come and stand next to me, one of the things I'll do is I'll put my arm around her and go, did you watch the band? Do you know this song? Can you sing? And that's what I hope that we can do as a community, is when the kids are with us, to really encourage them to participate. I had a friend who had a daughter. This is kind of a weird, sad story. Can you bear with me? I've talked about her before, but she had a daughter who passed away at 2.5 years old. And Dan and I went to the funeral. And we were at the funeral, they did a worship service, and they had the band from their church up there singing all of this 2.5-year-old's favorite worship songs from church. And they knew them all. And she was so into participating in the worship, her little name was Vivian, that she had favorite songs. That's how I want our kids with our band. I want them to have favorite songs. I want them to participate. I want them to be in a community that encourages them to watch and listen and sing and participate with the rest of us.
Is that it?
Unless you...
No, you're good.
Is that good?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
All right. I have just a little more. In closing, I'd like to bring this home with the whole concept of what are we aiming for here? And, well, before I do that, let me just give you a couple of tips on how to make kids welcome here. I think we're pretty good at that. In fact, I think we're doing a great thing, but all of us can get involved here. Say hello. When a kid just walks in the room. Now, I will admit that a lot of kids are so excited to be here, and they don't care about you. They're interested in their buddies, their little buddies that are here. And so, you know, you'll say hello, and they'll kind of give you the cold shoulder. That's fine, but just say hello, and say hello, and call them by name. Hello, Grace. That covers two of them right there. So if you say hello, Grace, there's a good chance. Anyway. It's good to see you today. And something like that, it just lets them know that you know they're here and you care about them. And they'll probably walk right by you, and that's okay. And you can always ask them what they're learning in Sunday school. What are you learning in Sunday school? And tell me about it. They'll probably be excited, especially the younger ones. I don't know, you know, Grant, Chris. What are you learning in Sunday school, Grant? Actually, I do ask him that. What did you learn in class today? So you can ask them that, and admittedly, you know, they may not tell you, but that's okay. Give it a shot. And then finally, pray for them and their parents. Just pray that they'll learn and grow and follow Jesus all their lives. And while you're praying, thank God for them. They like being here. Thank God that they like being here. That's a pretty cool thing. You ever been in a church where the kids, if any, were sequestered away into the classrooms? You know, folks, we're blessed. You come in here and there's life. There's life. Now, closing. I want to say from the heart, because this is important, thank you, musicians. Worship leaders, really. December, Zach and Jason have been with us for like 12 years or more. Very long time. And Debbie and Steve and Aaron joined us later. And now Amy. And we'll be seeing more of people like Erica and William. And I'm grateful for Katie being willing to step up very frequently. The worship team has always been a microcosm of the church. You know, kind of that idea of God says, here's your musicians. Make a band out of this. Various personalities, styles, ages, ideas, training, and experience. But it works. And so thank you, band members, for your faithfulness, your commitment, your love for each other, your patience when others are working out apart, your willingness to follow my leadership, your teachable attitudes, your musical skills, but also the willingness to serve with what you have. There's not a ton of glory here, you might have noticed. But thank you, and thank you. I'm asking you as a congregation, remember to thank them too. It's a good thing to thank people for just giving themselves to you, giving their time and their energy to you. And now I want to thank the teachers too of the children. I'm going to miss some here, but I'm thinking of Bethy, Boogie, Stacy, the other Stacy, Mark, Janine, Kate, and Beth, and some of the assistants like Daniel, Angela, Abby, Jillian, William. I probably left some people out, but thank you so much for what you do. I want you to know that I'm terribly grateful for each of you. You really care about these kids, and it shows. And the kids know that you love them, and it's obvious. They want to be here, and they love you. So obviously that you care about them and you get to know them. So let's give a hand to the teachers. And I also want to bless you parents. Thank you for continuing to make children. But those of you who are kind of done doing that, you're really grateful for that. Bless you for taking on the toughest, craziest, most rewarding and important job in the world. Raising the children. Don't forget that that is the most important job in the world. May they grow up to be full-hearted followers, not of the world, but of Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these people and the service that they give to you. Lord, we just ask that you would bless our children, keep them close to you, help them to follow you all their lives and not be led astray by the many, many forces in this world that want to take them away from you and take them down a dark path. Lord, we rely on you, and we want to be faithful to you. We want to take the humble place and serve you. And Lord, help us to keep this container free of impurities and to let the message shine through. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.